Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Piedmont United Methodist Church on this fourth Sunday after Pentecost, a rainy Sunday, but thank you all for joining us in church and also online for this beautiful opportunity that God has given us to worship together as one family. Today, let us be grateful that God has given us one more day in our lives to live in this world. To honor His name and also to be a blessing to others. So let us be thankful, and also today we remember all the fathers. As you all know, it's the Father's Day. We have some special items in the program today, and hope it's going to be a blessing for all the fathers and father-like figures who have been loving and caring us in many ways. Fathers and grandfathers, we honor them today. Also, we as a church honor today as the Freedom Sunday. As many of you know that the church celebrates the freedom from slavery and all forms of injustice in this world we stand against. So that's another Sunday that we celebrate today, June 20th. If you can turn with me on the announcements to the second page in the bulletins, they are all regular announcements that you all know. The Georgia Mountain Food Bank collection, we still continue with that ministry. The book proceeds will go to the Piedmont Mission, so if you have someone that you can give us a gift or buy for yourselves, please, it is $10 that will go to the Piedmont, our church mission work. The June birthday and anniversary celebration luncheon will be next Sunday. Join us for a lunch after service as we celebrate the various birthdays and anniversaries. The July cooking class, looks like we have a volunteer, but we will not disclose unless you come to that cooking class and see yourselves. I heard that it's going to be baked chicken, tastes like fried chicken. I don't know what that means. So, be here and we'll find out. Going to be a surprise.
What's the date on that,
Pastor? That's going to be July 10th.
Okay.
The second Sunday of every month at 10 a.m.
Art will be the 17th.
Okay. Yeah, the 17th will be the art class. We had a wonderful art class yesterday. I missed it, but we were here, and thank you, Wayne, for continuing to do that. I continue to say that it's a very relaxing thing. It is. To me, it is very therapeutic. You take your mind off everything else, and you focus on one thing, that drawing. That really makes a big difference for a couple of hours. So if you are stressed out, come for that class. You will feel the difference. And that's very, very interesting how different kinds of arts can and give you some kind of a calm and peace in certain times of your lives. The attendance and collections are listed at the bottom for our continued prayer and participation. Thank you all for your participation again. Please keep our church in our prayers for our faithfulness in doing our work in this community, and also guidance of the Holy Spirit to do the right thing for the kingdom of God. Are there any other announcements that anybody have in mind? If not, let us worship God together. The opening hymn is Rejoice the Lord is King. If you are able, please stand. It is 715 in the book, and also you will see it on the screen.
Thank you.
judge shall come and take his servants up to their eternal home. Listen, shall hear the angel's voice, the trumpet God shall soundly rejoice.
You may be seated. Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, we thank you for this Sunday that you have given us to gather together in your name, to worship you and adore you together as one family, united in spirit. We thank you for another day that you have given us in our lives to be alive in this world. Everything that we have and we are from your gift, Lord, to us, and help us to be thankful and grateful for everything. Bless us today, Lord, as we worship together and we remember all the fathers who have been faithful, doing their work and loving and caring for us, who have guided us, Lord. Thank you for all the father-like figures who have been caring us and giving us guidance in our lives throughout. We also pray for those who have not been faithful in their duties as fathers, Lord. We pray that you will restore them. We pray for those who are grieving at the death of their fathers and also in some ways have been separated from their fathers. We pray for your blessing and bless them with your peace and presence that they will trust in you during the time of brokenness as well. Bless us, Lord, as we worship together and celebrate the freedom that you have given us to worship from all kinds of slavery and injustice as we remember those who have suffered it. Bless us to be warriors of justice in this world and to be faithful in the convictions that you have given us, to use the freedom that you have given us to spread that to others as well, Lord. We pray that you will be with us today in our service to magnify your name, Lord, in our singing, in our prayers, in the meditation of the word, and the celebrations that we make in various ways, Lord, bring honor and glory to your name and blessing your people. Help us out to be filled with the Holy Spirit as we go from this place so that we can be more powerful witnesses for you in the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
It is our greeting time now. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love and also say hi to everybody online.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, good morning, Gail. Good morning, Chuck and Vicky. Good morning, Martha. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Happy
Bob.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. Good morning, Bob and Kathy. Thanks for joining.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Robert, nice to see you. Good morning.
That's it. Good morning to you.
All right. Thank you. The choir will sing a special now. Please remain seated for that song.
When Jesus took me and went away from heaven to my soul, take my heart in love and throw my name above.
And thank you, Jack, for singing the bass.
Thank you, Jack. We'll have a Father's Day reflection now, and heaven will dwell there.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Father's Day. First thing is, for the people online, everybody in church has seen it. I have on my shirt that says, "My favorite people call me Papa," because my favorite people call me Papa.
That's wonderful.
I'm going to start. I want to talk about my dad. He was an awesome dad. He did a lot of things for me. We had a lot of fun together. He worked a lot. Every Monday and Wednesday during the summer, we played golf together. Every Monday and Wednesday during the winter, we bowled together. I didn't get to see him a lot of the other time. He was a restaurant manager. He worked like crazy. Worked all the time. But he was a semi-pro fast-pitch softball pitcher. He was somewhat athletic. He was a little stocky guy. I was going to have a picture, but Dad looked a lot like me, just not as handsome. I grew up in restaurants when I was a little kid. If I wanted to see Dad, I went by the restaurant. After a ball game, my friends and I would go by the restaurant. Because that's what he did. He worked. He would go to work in the morning, open the restaurant. He'd come home about 12:30. He'd take a nap till 3. He'd get up. He'd go back to work until the restaurant closed at night. Like my kids grew up in hospitals. When my kids were little, Abby and Mackenzie's age, I was on call. They would go in and do scans and x-rays with me while Gail was working. So the way that I grew up in restaurants, my kids grew up in hospitals. I get my work ethic from my dad. He taught me that you work hard. It is an honor to have a job, to get paid to do a job. And that's where I learned my work ethic. Unfortunately, growing up, Mom took me to church. Grew up in the Methodist church, huge, gigantic old Methodist church. Dad never went to church because he was always working on Sunday. So growing up, I didn't get from him the belief and the going to church. And as a kid, Abigail's age, little kids, you just kind of go to church. That's what you do. Something Mom and Dad make you do every Sunday. And then as I got into my later single digits and early teen years, my mom was a church secretary for a smaller Methodist church. So I got to hear and see a lot of the behind-the-scenes business side of the church. And to be quite honest, that turned me off to church a lot. And I know that people that are on committees and stuff, you notice I still shy away from the business side of a church. I love this side of a church, the family side. I know that it has to happen. It's still uncomfortable for me. I also, too, if you look up in the dictionary the definition of a father, the first one says the male parent of a child. The second one says is someone who sires a child. That certainly does not, to me, that's not the definition of a father. So growing up, teen years, I started getting a little crazy. I told you we played golf together all the time. I was... as a freshman in high school, I was recruited by two or three different colleges for their golf team. I played with my dad in the men's league at age 12. We got a special exemption. I thought it was normal for dads to come and get you out of school on Monday afternoon so you could go practice for league that night. Then I discovered I was really the only kid doing that. My dad was the only one getting me out of school to go practice for men's league that night. But that was our relationship. We played together, watched sports together. That was a big thing growing up. 1978, I was a freshman in high school. My sister showed up at school and I was out. We were out throwing frisbee and I looked and there's my sister. And it kind of struck me, that's weird. Why is my sister here? Well, Dad was in the restaurant business. They were catering a big event. He was in the back of a truck with a warmer with 800 pieces of chicken in it. They went around a corner. Instead of letting the chicken go, Dad tried to catch it. Pulled him out of the truck. He fell and hit the road. He ended up with a broken neck. A couple other things, but the big thing was his broken neck. And over the next 6 years, his health declined. It was so hard for him and it was so hard for me because we couldn't do those things that we used to do together. And to be quite honest, it really made me angry that I couldn't do the things that I used to do with my dad. That was when, at that time, well, that's not true. Let me backtrack on that. He declined, and then Dad died in March of 1985. I was 22. I was already living down here. I had just recently gotten married at 22. You know, what was I thinking? I knew everything. And again, that made me angry, and it was really hard, and that was... At that time in my life, I went crazy. I started doing a lot of stuff that I shouldn't do, that people shouldn't do. A lot of drugs, a lot of alcohol, a lot more drugs. Funny thing was, is I kept hearing my dad, and I kept working. I worked all the time. That's what I did. And then... 1987, some people at work came to me and said, look, man, you got to do something. You're out of control. So I took a 30-day vacation to a place up in Gainesville. Did some treatment up there. And it helped for a while. I was still angry. I was angry because God took my father. I didn't like it. And then I found out shortly after Dad died that a few months before he died, he had written this down. He typed out, "Dear God, I've been living my life my own way. Now I want to live it your way. I need you. And I am now willing for you to take control of my life. I receive your Son, Jesus Christ, as my personal Savior and Lord. I believe he died for my sins and is risen from the dead. I surrender to him as Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, and occupy the throne of my life. Make me the kind of person you want me to be." I'd never heard my father talk like that before. To know that that's what he was thinking shortly before he died. At that time, again, made me really angry. Later on, and at this time in my life, that is a huge comfort to know that my father repented, and I know that my father's in heaven. So after he died, I kind of went back to my old ways. And then 1989, you've heard me say this before, was the best thing that ever happened to me. I married my wife, Gail. And along with that, we talked about the definition of a father. At that same time, that's when I met Gail's dad, Hubert, Papa. We all called him Papa. Just like at my house, everybody calls me Papa. That was such a blessing. He was a second father to me. And in a different way that my dad was. Gail's dad didn't do all the stuff that my dad did. Gail's dad was an electrical contractor and a construction guy. And he started teaching me that stuff. I had never learned anything like that before. I was a city guy. And here I was living in Cumming, Georgia, married a girl that was from Cumming, Georgia. And he basically told me, you know, your city ways ain't going to cut it anymore. You married my daughter. You've got a house. That's on you. I remember the first time that we tried to do a project together, he gave me a hammer, and I started hammering left-handed. And he started laughing and said, "Boy, who taught you to swing a hammer left-handed? You can't do that." You know, a lot of my training was grunt work. Crawl under that house, get down in that mud, do this, do that. But I learned. Gail and I just built a deck. I built a 12 by 12 deck. We did it all by ourselves. I never could have done anything like that without her dad being there to teach me. Him and Gail's mom were always there for anything we needed. And he taught me to keep family close. My family was all spread out, all over the eastern half of the country. And when I married Gail, their whole family was right here, except one sister who had moved to Houston. So he taught me how important family was and how to keep family close. God was always there in Mom and Dad's house, especially with Mama. Gail talked about that on Mother's Day. She always had a strong belief and talked about how important God was. They grew up together. They were sweethearts. 2008, she died in January. Dad made it until August. And you talk about the work ethic. He decided he didn't want to live in the house that he and Mom lived in. So we built him a little apartment that's still there now. And he and I hung the last pictures on the wall that evening after I got home from work. I went down and helped him. We hung the last pictures. The apartment was finished. He said, "Okay, everything's good." He went to bed that night, and Gail found him the next morning laying in bed, peaceful as he could be. I think that was Dad's work ethic. He knew everything was done. He was ready to go. He missed Mom, so he went. I still struggle. It took me a long time to find my faith. Back after Gail and I got married, I had been to treatment, but I found something. I don't know if anybody knows anything about Alcoholics Anonymous, but it is a God religious-based program to help alcoholics. Most people don't realize that. I heard a lot of wise things from a lot of crusty old guys in church basements. And I know y'all have heard me say this before. One of the most important things I learned, and I say it all the time, you'll hear me say it over and over and over, I learned, an old guy told me, he said, there's two things you need to know about God. There is one, and you ain't it. That's all you need to know. And a lot of times in my life, I think it all revolves around me, and that's when I struggle. back about 14 years ago, Gail and I decided that we needed to start going to church. We needed to get something in our lives. And we walked into this church on a Sunday. That Monday, Gene Brown showed up at our house, and spent about 2.5 hours in our living room talking to us about how important God was and how important this church was and how important God was in his life. That was another father figure for me who wasn't my father but taught me things. The importance of a church family. You know, through my heart attack and my cancer, if it wasn't for this church family, Gail and the girls would have never made it through. It's because of you people and you people that my family was able to survive that and the reason I was able to survive that. I try and do what I can. I don't get involved in the business side, but I think anybody around here knows that if you need something, all you got to do is ask. I'll help you out. I'll do anything I need to do for the church. All you have to do is ask. What I know about God now is that my life is better with Him in it. Even on days with us when I struggle, I know that God isn't stepping away from me. I've stepped away from God. And it's on me to get that relationship back. I think they do. I hope that my kids see it. I hope that the babies see it. Those babies have both been coming here since they were a week old, and they will continue to do so. This is our second family in this church. This morning in Bible study, you know, if you think there's no God, let me throw a couple things in. The night before my dad died, all five of us kids called him and talked to him that night. He went out to warm up the car to take my niece to school the next morning. She found him. She told my mom, "Grandpa's asleep in the car." All five of us kids had never called home ever on the same night. The night before Dad died, that happened. With Gail's dad, we finished the apartment. If you don't believe in God, there's just too many things that happen. There's too many things that happen that have to be God. This morning in Bible study, we read Revelations 2:9. I know your afflictions and poverty, yet you are rich. And I'll tell you that I've never had money. Don't have money, never going to have money. But I can also tell you that this afternoon at my house, I will feel like the richest man in the world. Because I'll be there with the people I love. With the people that call me Papa. And it's not just the babies. My daughters, Gail and I call each other Nanny and Papa. Because that's who we are now. And there's no more important thing than God and family. And just give me 30 seconds. It doesn't have to be your biological father to be a father. I think Kyle knows that. I look at Kyle as a son. And I know that my kids are watching me. So, in closing, because like at the Oscars, I'm being played off over here by the pastor. I just want to say a little prayer for fathers. Dear Heavenly Father, please guide and love all fathers, whether they're in a good relationship that needs to be strengthened, or whether they're in a broken relationship that needs to be fixed. Please give them the strength, the willingness, and your blessings to repair those relationships because they are so important. Thank you all for letting me ramble. Happy Father's Day to all the dads.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you for that testimony, Kevin. We all have remembrances of our fathers and father-like figures who have been fathers to us in many ways. We may have been hurt by many things in life because of our broken relationships probably, but remember there's a Heavenly Father who loves like a father and a mother, who will always be there for us. So let us all be thankful for our fathers. The next item is a responsive reading, which is taken from Psalm 67, verses 1 through 7.
If you can please stand. O God, be gracious to us, and bless us, and make your face to shine upon us.
That you live and be known upon earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Let the nations be glad and sing with joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
The earth and fields increase. God, our God, bless us.
God has blessed us.
That all the ends of the earth fear God.
This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
If the men can sit down and the ladies can come up here, we're going to do something and sing a song.
Yes.
Get up there and start singing.
Come on, though.
And I'll remember Mother's Day.
get her a microphone.
Thank you all, ladies, for singing for us. It was beautiful. We come to the prayer time now. As a church family, we share our prayers of blessings and concerns and lift them up to the Lord with thanksgiving and also trusting in His promise that He will answer our prayers according to His time and His will. So let us go to God in prayer together. The regular announcements, prayer requests are listed at the back of the bulletin for your continued prayer. Use this as a list for your study and prayer time daily. And remember these people and items in your prayers. A couple of call-outs that we want to make today from the request that Gail is out. She's not sick, right? But she's needed.
No, her blood counts were just low. She needed blood, and they had to do it this morning.
And keep her in our prayers. She's online with us, Gail. Hope you feel better. We'll pray for you. And remember Carol in our prayers, too. She's kind of weak and sick. So please keep Carol in our prayers. And I heard that Eddie is getting better, which is good news. Thanks be to God for that. And let's keep continue to pray for Eddie and his recovery. And also pray for Martha for her continued recovery and strength in her body and in the spirit.
Pastor, I'd like to ask for my prayer warriors. My number is doubled. Okay. And I've got to have a CAT scan on Thursday. So I'm praying for a miracle that nothing's wrong, but I really need all my prayer warriors.
Okay, we will be praying for you, Martha. And please remember her in our daily prayers. God has answered our prayers in the past, and we know that He's a good God. And we need to keep Martha constantly in our prayers. Above all, we need to pray for peace and calm in her life during this difficult time. It is an unusual time, and she needs all the support that we can give her at this time. Please call her and encourage her in time if you have. And any other special call-outs from this list or anything else?
Yes, Pastor, we need to say prayers for Penny.
Penny,
she was at choir Wednesday. She is at home sick with flu-like symptoms. So we need to pray that it is just a cold or the flu and nothing that starts with a C.
Right.
Yeah. I wanted to add a phrase that he went to Missouri in rugby and came back in all one piece and very well.
Congratulations.
Amen.
Are there any call-outs? If not, let us go to God in prayer with a silent prayer of a few moments in the beginning, and I will close with a summarized prayer. Loving God, we thank you for this opportunity that you have given us together to come and worship together as one family. We thank you for the gift of life, the fellowship and friends and family that you have given and blessed us in our lives with. Above all, we thank you for your Son Jesus Christ, who came to die for us and gave his life, in whom we have the power of resurrection because he rose from the dead. We thank you for that gift of eternal salvation that you have given us, Lord. In spite of our sinful condition, you loved us. As we come before you with our needs, we are full of thankfulness and gratefulness in our hearts for all the blessings that you shower upon us, Lord, the good health and strength that we have in our bodies, the opportunity to come together and worship you freely without fear or any problems of persecution in this country. We pray that your guidance be upon us to do your will. We particularly pray for those people who have been struggling with their health conditions. Especially we pray for Martha as she's going through a difficult time with her cancer and her treatment. We pray for your special healing upon her. As united in faith, trusting in your promise, Lord, we pray that you'll touch her now. Heal her, Lord, bodily and also in her soul and spirit. Above all, we pray for your peace that passeth all understanding will rule her life in her hearts and minds. We pray for the doctors and nurses for the wisdom to do the right thing for her. We pray for your special touch in her life and in their family now. We also pray for Gail and Carol as they are resting at home with various ailments. We pray for your healing hands be upon them and give them health and strength in their bodies. We also pray for Penny, who is, we know that she's sick with some kind of flu symptoms, and continue to be with her and heal her, Lord. And thank you for your healing in all of these cases, Lord. We pray for Eddie, as we heard the good news that he's recovering from his ailments. We pray for your continued healing upon him. Above all, fill him also with your peace, and people who care for them, the grace and the patience that they need to care for him. We thank you for Dean, as he came back with good news and the wins that he had made, and also in his life that you have given him all the successes. We thank you for him. Bless him, Lord, to be a living and loving witness for you in the days to come, wherever he is placed, and bless his future. And thank you for his family as well, Lord, at this time. We pray for all of those who are struggling with various needs and illnesses and problems at this time, particularly with the pandemic and various other things happening around us. Just heard the news that a big wreck in Alabama took the lives of at least 10 people, including 9 children. We pray for those families at this time, that you will be there, your presence be with them and comfort them, Lord. We all come before you. Some of us are broken in our bodies and some of us are broken in our spirit. But we know that in Jesus Christ you have given us wholeness in everything. And by trusting in him, we know that we have been blessed with the riches of heaven, more than we can ever deserve. So we come before you, the knowledge that you will give us everything that we need at the right time according to your time and your will. We thank you for this church and bless us, Lord, to do your work faithfully in all the opportunities that you have given us to do. And help us to be guided by the Holy Spirit and your wisdom and not ours. Help us today in our worship to worship you in truth and in spirit, to glorify your name, that your people be blessed. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now, as we remain seated, we will take the offertory. Stand for the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for all the blessings, material and spiritual, that you give us in our lives every day. We thank you for all the opportunities that you give us to give for your kingdom and the work of your kingdom. as we come before you with a portion of what you have given us, Lord, bless these offerings that it will be a blessing for your name and also for the work that we are doing in this community and around the world. We thank you for those who were able to give joyfully and pray for those who could not give today as well. Remember all of them in your love, O God, and bless and help us to use this offering to share your love to this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
As we remain standing, we'll read the scripture now. It is taken from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 8.
I thank my God every time I remember you, and all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in change or defending or confirming the gospel, all of you sharing God's grace with me. God can testify how long for all of you with the affliction of Christ Jesus. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the word that you have given us for our life to be powerful as life and spirit, so that we can be life and spirit to this world. Bless us, Lord, as we meditate on your word, that you will humble our hearts and spirits so that we will receive your word with humility. Help us, Lord, to obey your word in all ways that you are telling us and commanding us to do. We thank you for your presence in our midst and fill us with your power of the Holy Spirit to illumine our souls so that we can see the hidden truths that is in your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I will be brief in my sermon as we continue with the sermon series on prayers. Paul is talking about in this scripture that we read today about remembering others in his prayers. He's writing a letter to the Philippian church while he was in prison for preaching the gospel. So while he was in chains and in bondage, when he had a lot of troubles and pains that he was going through by himself, he was constantly praying for the church and other people. So this passage tells us to be always connected by prayers wherever we are, in what situation and condition we are in. Prayer is something that connects us between each other. We have a lot of relationships that we build. But one relationship that we can all build together without having to know each other is about praying for others. Prayer connects us as one body in Christ, and at the same time a united prayer of God's children will shake the thrones of heaven, and changes will happen when people pray unitedly. So it is a powerful force that we continue to have to do in our life. And as Paul has been telling them, that I feel affection for you all with the compassion of Christ Jesus. We pray for others with the same compassion of Christ Jesus. So it is, prayer is not only us connecting to God, but prayer is also something that connects us together as the body of Christ. It certainly connects us to God with the Creator if we pray. The only way for a sinner to go to God in prayer is to go to God's presence is through prayer only. you ask God for forgiveness of your sins in prayer. Prayer is how the believer brings the anxieties and concerns to God. The scripture is a message God gives to you, while prayer is the messages that we send to God that connects us between God. So that's the two-way conversation that takes place between a believer and God. The scripture will guide us and has the message for us from God, and the prayer we take our concerns and messages to God. Without prayer and scripture reading, there is no Christian faith or Christian life. These are two foundations that we have to depend on in our faith journey of life. So connecting God with our soul through prayer is like a sweet-smelling sacrifice. That's what the Bible says, that it is a sweet-smelling sacrifice that you are giving to God when we pray. That means there is a smell, an odor to our prayers. When the Jewish worship start, they have the fumes that come out of their sacrificial table. And the sign or the symbol is that the fumes or the smoke will go up in heavens. And it is like a prayer of saints that will go up like a smoke in the sacrifice. That is what the Bible teaches about prayer, that the prayer is a sacrifice of the saints, which gives an aroma, and bring that aroma, raise it up to the throne of grace of God. I was reading a little story about a girl in Texas who used to smell God. I don't know if you ever smelled God. I didn't know that God has a smell. Yes, he does, depending on what situation you are in. This girl, she was very young age, she used to say that even when she was crawling and walking and started talking, she always used to say that she could smell God. But the interesting thing about this girl was that she was born premature at 24 weeks. She had to be cared for in the hospital for months before she was released to her parents. So when there was, in the beginning of her life, there was no hope of life, and they did not really think that she was going to survive. But after going through the care of the hospital, she was able to grow up, and she became a full adult. She still says that she can smell God, and she says that before some of the natural hurricanes and thunderstorms and lightnings and all those things come, she gets some kind of a feeling, a smell in her body, in her nose, that she can warn people. This was in the news, interesting news. But one thing that she said, that it is because of God talking to her that she can warn other people. And her pastor, who is a close friend of hers, says that while she was in the hospital, lying in the bosom of God, struggling to survive from that premature birth, she was so close to God's bosom, his body, that she really smells God. That's how she learned to smell God. Then it caught my attention that if we get closer to any person, we can smell them, don't we? We do. And that's what happens when we get closer to God. We can smell God, and we can get that aroma in our lives depending on our condition. If we are sick, he's our physician. When we are broken, he's our counselor. When we are fallen, he will lift you up by his hands and say, and be strong and be courageous. So that is what prayer does, that connects us with our Creator as a sweet-smelling sacrifice. Prayer connects us with people. Jesus taught us to pray for our enemies as well. That's the best way to get relationship back together. Even if you think some of the relationships are so broken that it may not be mendable, but one thing you can do, keep praying for that person or for that issue. Continue to pray that it will connect people together. Prayer will bring healing and forgiveness in broken situations. We have been going through some difficult time as a nation. We have been disunited or divided as can ever be. But many times I feel that the churches who have been praying in the past, we have been gone down in our prayers. The only way we can get united together again, no matter what spectrum you are in your issues, we can always be together if we pray for each other. This is the time the church has to wake up and start praying continuously, that we will be united together because of prayer. And our country was founded on prayer, if you go back and read history. Only because of the prayers of the forefathers that we are here today. And we forsake prayer, we may not have a good future. We have to bring back prayer in the places that have been shut out by prayer now. So we need to bring back prayer in our schools, in our government, wherever it is. And it's the time that we have to wake up and start praying. And prayer also brings and connects families together. As families who pray, the families that pray together will stay together, you know that. Take time to pray together as families, no matter how busy you are. That is one link that you cannot break. If you break that link, the family can fall apart. So please pray together and find some time. It could be the dinner table or it could be a lunch time. It doesn't matter what time accommodates for you, but be together and give thanks to God. And pray to God together as church family. If we pray for each other, husband prays for the wife and the wife prays for the husband. Parents praying for the children and children praying for the parents. Those will make remarkable changes in our family situations, in our society. I grew up with Christian parents and grandparents. One thing that I noticed in my grandfather who raised me, raised all of our, my fathers and his brothers and also sometime as grandchildren, he raised us too. But one thing that I always remember about him was that he woke up early in the morning and at 5 o'clock. And we didn't like that at the time. He would wake everybody up. He would not let us sleep late. But then he has a prayer time together with all of us. We had an extended family together for some years that I remember that we lived together. But still in my mind that in the morning, early morning hours, he would pray for each and every one of our family members. He would name them one by one and pray for them. So that is how families get connected together. Today we need more than any time before that we need to have prayer in our families. Prayer connects us with people who are outside of our comfort zone. And we can all be together because of prayer. And one time I read a story about a song that says, "Lady Who Prays For Me." It was a song that was written as a tribute to the mother who had made it a point of praying for her boys each morning before they went to the bus stop. So after a young man heard her singing this song, he went and told his mother that this particular mother prays for all of his children before they go to the bus stop. And she started praying for this son. And one day after he went to the bus stop, he came back with a bunch of kids. And he said, "Why did you come back with all of these children?" "Mama, none of these children's parents prayed for them, so I wanted to pray for them." That connected a group of students. That's how they started a group in their school with a prayer group and a Bible study group that really became a blessing. That's how we connect people through prayer. So continue to pray, as Paul says, to on all occasions with all kinds of prayers, continue to pray, demonstrating our daily dependence on God and also connecting people and issues together, that we can go back to our Heavenly Father, that we will never be alone, because God will be there when we pray. Prayer connects and unites the believers as one body. A praying church is the only growing church that you can see. Prayer should be our foundation of work. And we also need to pray for those who are not able to pray themselves. And I have preached about that before. The Holy Spirit pray for them. At the same time, there are situations people who are in now that can't pray for themselves. Various challenges that they are facing in their lives. Maybe they have been away from God, or they are not able physically to pray and mentally not alert in various conditions. It is for us to keep them in our prayers on a regular basis. So please continue to pray. That connects us together and also connects us together with God as one body, and God will answer our prayers according to His time and His will. As we go from this place, remember to continue to pray, especially the prayer list that we have here. Please use this every time that you go to God in prayer, and remember these people and items in our prayers and continue with that. May the good Lord bless us with these words as we go from this place. Amen. The closing hymn is "I Know Whom I Have Believed." If you are able, please stand. It's 714 in the hymnal.
Not by God's wondrous grace to me He hath made known, nor by unworthy Christ in love redeemed before His soul. But I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me He did impart, nor how believing in His word peace within my heart. And I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing us of sin, revealing to you the creating and maintaining. But I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the way with Him or meet Him in the air. But I know whom I have believed, persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day.
People of God, by praying we are helping and supporting and strengthening each other. Praying is something that we all can do wherever we are, and we must do them. And it connects our bodies together, just organs are connected to our body and with Christ. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Happy Father's Day.
Love everybody.